Okay, puppy lovers, get ready. We're diving headfirst into the world of puppies today. We're talking all things puppy raising with Puppy 101, Training and Caring for an Amazing Companion by Shauna Gray. And let me tell you, this book, it's like having a secret weapon, especially for those first few months. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Shauna Gray, she really gets it. Puppies are amazing, but those early days, they can be a wild ride.
That's the perfect way to put it. It's like strapping yourself into a roller coaster. So let's talk about that, bringing your puppy home for the very first time. What's the most important thing new puppy parents should do even before they pick up their puppy?
Well, before you even think about bringing that little furball home, you got to get down on their level, literally.
Right. I'm intrigued. What does that even mean?
So Gray, she says, get on your hands and knees and crawl around your house. See the world from a puppy's point of view.
I love that visual.
It's amazing what you start to notice, right? Like that loose electrical cord behind the TV stand. Or that body of cleaning stuff that's always falling out from under the sink. Suddenly, it's all incredibly interesting and potentially dangerous.
Things we don't even think about. Okay, so puppy proof, check. What's next?
The fun part. Shopping. Gray has a whole list of must-haves, but there's one thing I want to highlight, enzymatic cleaner.
Okay, yeah. Enzymatic cleaner. I'll be honest, I kind of thought that was just fancy marketing for a regular cleaner.
Oh, no. Enzymatic cleaner is a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. It's not just about masking those puppy accidents. It actually breaks down the odor molecules.
Right.
Yeah. Regular cleaner, it might smell good, but those odor molecules, they're still there telling your puppy, this is the place.
So it's like a secret weapon against repeat accidents.
Exactly. Your nose will thank you.
Okay. I'm sold. Enzymatic cleaner, it is. Now, let's fast forward. You brought your puppy home. What about that car ride? Any advice on how to make it a smooth one?
Think of it like packing for a tiny road trip. You want to be prepared. So old towels, a blanket, just in case. And this is important, even if you plan on carrying your puppy. Have a leash and collar on hand. You just never know.
Right. You never know when nature might call. For you or the puppy. Speaking of which, let's talk routine. Because those first few weeks, am I right?
Oh, they could be a whirlwind.
It's like a hurricane of puppy energy hit your home. So how do we even begin to create a routine that works?
Well, Gray emphasizes that having a routine isn't just about making our lives easier. It's actually vital for your puppy's well-being. Remember, they've just been through a huge change. New home, new people. It's a lot. Mm. Totally. It's overwhelming. And, you know, Gray even mentions this fascinating fact. At 8 weeks old, puppies need something like 18 hours of sleep a day.
18 hours? Seriously?
Yeah, 18 hours. It sounds like a lot, but they're growing so fast they need all that sleep.
No wonder they turn into little fur rugs for most of the day. I thought that was just, you know, a puppy thing.
Yeah, it's totally normal. But okay, routine. Gray actually provides a sample schedule in the book, you know, focusing on those core elements, potty breaks, meals, playtime, those all important naps.
Thank goodness for those naps. So it's about finding that balance, giving them structure, but also being flexible as they grow.
Right. Absolutely. And speaking of things that change as your puppy grows, socialization.
Yes. Because those early experiences, they really shape who they become, don't they?
They do. Gray calls those first few months the critical socialization period. And
right.
She says it's about more than just, you know, letting them meet other dogs.
Right. It's about exposing them to, like, all sorts of sights and sounds, new people.
Exactly. But here's the tricky part. What about socializing before they're fully vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You want them to experience the world, but you also want to keep them safe. So what does Gray recommend?
Well, she has this great suggestion. She says, think about using a pet stroller.
A stroller?
Yeah. It's a way to give them those early experiences, you know, but in a controlled environment.
That's brilliant. I love that idea.
Keeps them safe, but still engaged.
Okay, so we've covered puppy proofing, creating a routine, early socialization. What's next on our puppy deep dive checklist?
Let's talk about something that can be a bit of a pain point for new puppy owners. Those sharp puppy teeth.
Ah, yes. Puppy biting. It's like they have razor blades in their mouths. But, you know, before we jump into solutions, I think it's important to remember that biting, it's a normal puppy behavior, right?
100%.
Yeah.
They're exploring. They're learning. It's our job to teach them bite inhibition.
To have a soft mouth.
Exactly. And Gray actually breaks it down into four steps, starting with teaching them that biting hurts.
Okay, so this is interesting because you wouldn't think you'd have to teach a puppy that biting hurts, but they learn from their litter mates, right?
Exactly. Like if they bite too hard when they're playing, their litter mate yelps.
Mm-hmm.
That's a signal, right?
Right. Like, hey, back off.
Yeah. So Gray says you can mimic that. If your puppy bites too hard, let out a high-pitched ouch and immediately disengage.
So they start connecting the dots, hard bite equals no more fun. I love it.
Exactly. Now, once those bites start getting a little gentler, that's when you move on to step two, no pressure.
No pressure. Okay, I'm listening. So let's say my puppy is just kind of mouthing on my hand. It's not a hard bite. What do I do?
Even then, you react as if it hurts. This teaches them to be even gentler.
Ah, so they learn to adjust their bite pressure. So smart. What's next?
Step three is introducing the off cue, teaching them to stop mouthing altogether when you ask.
Giving them a clear verbal cue. And this is where consistency is key, right?
Absolutely. Everyone in the house has to be on the same page. If one person lets the puppy mouth, it's game over.
Mixed signals, confused puppy.
Exactly. Now, the final step, Greg calls it by request only, and I love this one.
Okay, tell me more.
It recognizes that sometimes you might want to engage in a little playful mouthing with your puppy.
Yeah, like a gentle game of tug of war.
Exactly. But it's on your terms.
Yeah.
They need to know that mouthing is only okay when invited.
And they need to stop immediately when asked. It's all about that clear communication, building that trust and respect.
You got it.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Speaking of creating a safe and comfortable environment for your puppy, let's talk about a tool that sometimes gets a bad rap. The crate.
The crate. Hmm. I know some people think it's cruel, but when used correctly, it can be an amazing tool.
Absolutely. It's like giving them their own little den, a safe space.
Exactly. And Gray, she's all about crate training. She starts by talking about choosing the right size.
Right, because you don't want it to be too big or they'll just, you know,
potty in one corner and sleep in the other.
Exactly. So how do we make sure the crate is a positive experience? Because we don't want them to be scared of it, right?
Right. You want to create positive associations.
Yeah.
Gray talks about making it super inviting, you know, cozy bed, a safe chew toy, maybe a few high-value treats scattered around.
Make it their little puppy palace.
Exactly. And you never, ever want to force them in. Yeah. That just creates negative associations. It's all about going slowly, you know, tossing treats in, praising them like crazy when they go in on their own.
And then over time, you start associating a cue word like crate or kennel up. And slowly, you increase the amount of time they spend in there.
Starting with just a few seconds, working your way up, and always ending on a positive note.
So they learn that crate time equals good things. Speaking of positive associations, let's talk about another big one for puppy parents. Potty training.
The never-ending saga.
It can feel like a marathon, am I right?
It can. But Gray's advice is super reassuring. She gets that accidents happen, especially in that first week or two. It's totally normal.
It's easy to get discouraged, you know, but remembering that those accidents, they're not personal. It's just a puppy being a puppy. That can make all the difference.
100%. The key is to be consistent and patient and to have the right tools on hand.
Like our friend Enzymatic Cleaner. Now, what about the age-old question? How often should we be taking our puppies out? Because those first few weeks, it feels like it's every 5 minutes.
Right. It's a constant dance. But Gray gives a general guideline for an 8-week-old puppy. You're looking at every 30 to 60 minutes.
Okay, that's helpful to have a starting point. But you also have to learn your puppy's cues, right?
Absolutely. Every puppy's different.
Okay, potty training. Check. Now, I think we need to talk about something else that can be a bit of a mystery for new puppy owners. Decoding their barks. Why do they do that? Why so many barks?
Right. There's the attention bark, the excitement bark, the I'm bored bark, the I'm scared bark.
It's like they have a whole vocabulary of barks and we have to learn their language. So how do we decipher those barks? How do we know what they're trying to tell us?
Well, for attention-seeking barking, the best thing you can do is ignore it.
Ignore it, even when they're looking at you with those puppy dog eyes.
Especially then. Because even negative attention is still attention to a puppy.
That makes sense. So if they're barking for attention, you just totally ignore them. And as soon as they're quiet, even for a second, you reward them.
Exactly. They'll catch on quickly being quiet, gets them what they want.
Okay. What about when you come home from work and they're so excited they're bouncing off the walls?
That's excitement barking. And it's super common. In those situations, teaching an alternate behavior can be super helpful. Like sit or down.
So instead of rewarding them with attention when they're all hyper, you wait until they're calm and then you give them plays and maybe even a treat.
Exactly. Positive reinforcement for the win.
I love it. Okay, so we've talked about potty training, decoding those barks. We can't forget about those sharp little puppy teeth. Any more advice from Gray on navigating those biting moments?
She actually devotes an entire chapter to bite inhibition. It's definitely worth a read.
We'll make sure to link to it in the show notes. Okay, we've covered so much ground already, but we're not done yet. What's next on our deep dive checklist?
Let's talk about something that can be a bit of a head scratcher for new puppy owners. Resource guarding.
Resource guarding. Okay, so we're talking about when our adorable puppies, they suddenly turn into those little, what are those creatures from The Lord of the Rings? Gollum. Yeah, when they go full Gollum over their toys or food bowls. Like, yeah. My precious.
You nailed it. It's like a switch flips, right? And while it can be kind of funny, Gray really stresses that resource guarding, it's a natural instinct for dogs. It's all about survival.
Right, because in the wild, if they didn't protect their food, they might not, you know?
Exactly. But obviously, we don't want them guarding their food bowls from us. So how do we deal with it in a positive way? Gray has some great advice here, right?
She does. Lay it on us.
Okay, so first, she talks about teaching your puppy that giving up an item can actually be a good thing. It's all about positive associations.
Trade, don't take.
Yes. Instead of just snatching the toy away, which can escalate things, you offer a high-value treat in exchange.
So smart. So they learn that giving something up doesn't mean losing it forever. It often means getting something even better. I love that. And what's the second part of this resource guarding strategy?
Really reinforcing that leave it cue. The stronger their leave it is, the less likely they are to resource guard in the first place.
Prevention, prevention, prevention. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. What else? What other puppy problems are we tackling today?
Well, let's talk about something that can be really tough on puppy parents. Separation anxiety. You know, those sad puppy eyes when you're about to leave the house.
Ugh, it's heartbreaking. It makes you want to call off all your plans. So how do we deal with that? Because a little alone time is healthy, right?
It is. Gray says it helps them build independence and confidence.
So how do we find that balance? How do we make sure they're okay when we're not around?
She says, start small, leave them alone for like a minute or two at first, then gradually increase the time as they get more comfortable.
And make those short absences positive so they don't associate being alone with, like, you know, the end of the world.
Exactly. Turn it into a good thing.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to touch on one more thing before we wrap up this deep dive. Canine body language. It's like they have their own secret language, right?
They do. And once you learn it, it's like you have a superpower. You can really understand what they're thinking and feeling.
So where do we even begin? What are some of the basics we need to know?
Okay, let's start with the tail. A wagging tail, usually that means a happy dog, right? But it's not always that simple.
Right, because a wagging tail can also be a warning signal, like, back off.
Exactly. It's about looking at the whole body, the speed of the wag, the direction of the wag. And then there are the ears. Those are super expressive.
Okay, so what should we be looking for with their ears?
Well, relaxed, happy ears, they're usually in a neutral position, or maybe slightly forward. When they're alert or focused, their ears are going to be perked up.
Like when they're really focused on a sound or trying to figure out what's going on.
Exactly. But when those ears are pinned back against their head, that's a sign that they're feeling scared or anxious.
Right. They're trying to make themselves look smaller.
Exactly.
Okay. This is fascinating. I feel like we could do a whole deep dive on canine body language alone.
Oh, absolutely. It's a whole world.
Well, sadly, we're out of time for today, but this has been amazing. I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too. Gray's book is just, it's chock full of great info.
It really is the ultimate puppy raising guide. So to wrap things up, if you're looking for a comprehensive, practical, and positive approach to puppyhood, Puppy 101 is a must read. And that's a wrap on today's deep dive into the world of puppies. Thanks for joining us. And remember, with a little patience and a lot of love, you've got this, puppy parents.